So good to feel the Spirit at work, isn't it? Gosh. I thought last week I've had this wave three times of the Holy Spirit just coming on me. And I think it's been at least that this morning already. It's just, so good. Just so good, isn't it? So good. Whew. Well, here we are. Here we are. Our beginning in the new beginning in the life of Histon Baptist Church. And I don't know about you, but I feel God's up to something. He's up to something new. And that's not just because we've arrived. I sensed that the moment we came. One of the biggest encouragements for me was taking Grace along to the youth group last Sunday night and seeing the Henman's Garden packed with young people. And not just young people, and this isn't, you know, this isn't me being, trying to think of the word now, sexist, that's the word. But it was lovely to see so many young lads in the youth group. Because when it gets to about year nine, about age 14, lads get very disinterested in churchy things, unless there's girls. But it's amazing. I am so thankful to be here again. And as Graham said, do you know what was really powerful yesterday? I mean, there were lots of things. When we were up here being prayed for, you remember Graham said he felt that God was saying to him, they're not coming back, they're going forward. That was the third time. I'm not usually this emotional, just FYI, in case you're thinking, oh my goodness, what have we done? That was the third time that God had said that to us. Well, to me, actually. I really felt like, oh gosh, is it right to go back? Oh, and God said, it's not going back, it's going forward. Then another time, those of you that listen to Lectio 365, if you don't have that app on your phone, get it on your phone. It is good. It will do you good. It is good. But it's a prayer app. And a couple of months ago, they were looking at Elijah. And Elijah said to, God said to Elijah, what are you doing here? And he's at the cave. What are you doing here? Go back the way you came. And in the devotional bit, it said, with God, when you go back, it's always going forward. So here we are. I thoroughly enjoyed last week's service. It was wonderful to be back in the building as one big family and to have those who can't yet be back with us on Zoom as well. It's great to still be all together in this way. So hello, Zoomers. Lovely to see you. Or not see you. Actually, I can't see you. You can see me, but hopefully I will see you soon. And I felt the Spirit move a number of times last week. I felt him move, as you have visibly seen a number of times this morning. God is with us. That is a truth. We need to hold on to that. Not just when times are tough, but when times are good too. God is with us. He is good. Now, as expressed yesterday, a lot has happened for the family and I over this last year as we've left Braintree and moved here. Lots has happened. But we received such a wonderful welcome when we moved here at the end of July. Little Treens, otherwise known as Katrina Zarkos-Smith, and Kim, where's Kim? There's Kim. There was a welcome banner up above the manse door. Very excitable ladies waving at us. And it was wonderful. We had a hamper full of good stuff. and the house looked amazing. We feel so blessed to be in that place. Feel the envy of most of Histon having that house. And it's just amazing. And we've really enjoyed settling in and making it our own. We received, the children, they've settled in well into school. I know a number of you have asked. William and Emma have gone to what's known as Brook Primary now, which was the junior school when I was last here, down by the pond, and they are loving it. I felt incredibly old because when we took them for a tour around the school, one of the teachers in year four I had in my youth group when I was at Milton, so I suddenly felt slightly older. But that's all good. And Grace absolutely loved IVC this week. She started at IVC, and Liz, it's good to see you here. Liz, the chaplain at IVC, is with us today. Lovely to see her here. And you always know when Grace really likes something. If you get chatting to Grace, our eldest, you'll know that you almost need to record it on your video phone and then watch it back in slow-mo, because it's very fast. And when she's excitable, it's supersonic. And it sounds a bit like a turkey gone mad. It's... And you're like trying to process it all. And that's what she was like when she went to the youth group last Sunday. That's what she was like when she went to IVC for the first time. Absolutely loving it. And Kate and I have enjoyed settling back into Histon and reconnecting with old friends, but also making new friends. We had Vida round on Friday morning, who cut Kate's hair. Round of applause for Kate's hair. Come on, let's you know. And that was, 2 years in the making, that haircut? Yeah, I think it's been about 2 years since you had the haircut. But it's lovely to get to know new people in the church. And obviously to us, there's quite a few new people because we haven't been around for 5 years. But there are still new people coming into the church at this time, and that warms my heart greatly too. And we'll do the picture. Is it on? Right. Do I just need to press the button? Okay. Here we go. We've also acquired 4 new members in our family: Daisy, Daphne, Lucene, and Shelley. 4 hens, who I now refer to as my girls, and they've brought us great joy and lots of scrummy eggs. But don't worry, I'm not going to crack any jokes, as that would be extremely tedious. I'll hand you over to Andy for that one, because he's great at the egg jokes. So in so many ways, we feel like we've come home. It's old and familiar, but it's also new and exciting. And perhaps this is where many of us find ourselves as we come out of COVID and return to church, as we enter into the new normal. Now, I think it's fair to say that the last 18 months has been a real roller coaster ride, hasn't it? Yeah, it's probably a bit of an understatement. There have been some surprising blessings and new opportunities discovered during the unprecedented time that we've been through, but there have also been some deep hardships and losses. And we carry this reality into the new. We carry this reality and experience as we return home, as we move forward into this new chapter together. And over the next few months, starting in a couple of weeks' time on the 26th of September, we're going to explore this rollercoaster of emotions and experiences as we reflect on what it means to return from exile. What does it mean to move forward as the people of God at this time and this moment? Now, recovering and rebuilding from COVID is not going to be an easy task. It's going to require that we hold true to all of those covenantal promises we made yesterday. We're going to be hearing those in a little bit. But above all else, it's going to require that we love one another. If we are to stay strong and united as God's family and continue to grow and flourish in Him, then it needs to be grounded in God's love. And so, as we reflect on the past and we look forward to all the new and exciting plans God has for us, I want to encourage us to get our focus right from the beginning, to remember the two most important commandments from God, both of which have love at the center of them. John, if we could have the next slide, that would be lovely. I'll just skip on. Hang on. There we go. So Jesus said, and we heard this yesterday. I didn't know Mike was going to be preaching on this, but he didn't preach on this bit. He preached on the second bit, so it's all good. It's all good. Jesus said, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments. If you could take that slide down, John, thank you. So let's think about the first commandment. Now, if we're going to be and grow as God's family going forward, then it's going to require first and foremost that we continue to love and seek the Lord with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. Now, I don't know if you can remember back when COVID started all those months ago, back in March 2020, there was much anxiety and worry around. And do you remember people hoarding toilet rolls? Remember that? They should have heard Mike Elkham's message back then, shouldn't they? Be generous with your toilet rolls. Now, I encouraged people at the time when we started in the pandemic, I encouraged people to look at Jesus' words in Matthew chapter 6 about worry, where he says, do not worry about what you will wear, eat or drink, or what may or may not happen tomorrow. But just stop and look around. Look how God feeds the birds of the air. Look how he clothes the flowers of the field that are here today and gone tomorrow. Are you not much more precious to him than they? Jesus went on, so do not worry, saying, what shall we eat? What shall we drink? What shall we wear? For the pagans run after all these things. And I love this bit. Your heavenly Father knows that you need them. He's not saying, doesn't matter. Stop being so vain. Stop being ridiculous. He knows that you need them. He knows that you need them. But he wants your focus in the right place. First, seek first, he says, his kingdom and his righteousness. And all these things will be given to you as well. It's interesting things fall into place when you're looking in the right direction, eh? Now, Jesus had a lively sense of his Father's goodness, care, and provision. As Mike said yesterday, Jesus had a lively sense of the Father's generosity. And Jesus wants us to have that same faith, that same relationship with our Heavenly Father as he does. Now, the songs that we've sung this morning have reminded us of God's character and faithfulness and all the things we can give him thanks for in our lives. Our Father, our Heavenly Father, loves us dearly and wants to provide for all he has made. And that includes you. And that includes me too. It includes the future of this church family. And it includes the future of this village as well. And so Jesus says, don't fix your eyes on the problems that you are facing right now, but fix your eyes on God. I remember it was a Lectio 365 thing again. I'm not being paid to plug this app, by the way. But I remember in one of the devotions, it said, often we tell God about our problems. That's good to do, isn't it? The Psalms would be a bit empty if that didn't happen. But it said, what if we told our problems about God? Different. Think about that next time you're praying. Seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things, everything you need, will be given to you as well. In other words, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind, and make this your first priority. And though this may seem counterintuitive to us because we're so easily consumed with the immediate concerns of our lives, when we fix our eyes on God and trust in him, he gives us all we need and more because he's generous. Now, I'd like to share with you a painting, which hopefully if John can put on the... Do I just have to click this? Okay, there we go. Thank you, John. And those of you on Zoom can hopefully see this painting as well. This is a painting I did at a prayer retreat, and it's based on the story of Peter walking to Jesus on the water in Matthew chapter 14. Now, it's a familiar story to us. You remember that in this story, Jesus has been on his own praying, seeking God first, praying with his heavenly Father. And he sent the disciples on ahead of him in the boat. Time drags on and night descends, and a squall, I love that word, a squall comes upon them in the boat. And in the midst of all this chaos and concern, Jesus walks to them on the water. At first, the disciples are perplexed and terrified, as I think any of us would be. It's not the sort of thing you expect to happen, is it? And so they think he's a ghost. But Jesus immediately said to them, take courage, it is I, don't be afraid. Lord, if it's you, Peter replied, tell me to come to you on the water. Come, he said. Then Peter got down out of the boat, walked on the water, and came towards Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, cried out, Lord, save me. Immediately, Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. You of little faith, he said, why did you doubt? If we could, that's it. Thank you, John. Now, that's a familiar story to us all, isn't it? But did you notice what Jesus says first? He says, take courage. It is I. Don't be afraid. How many of us need to hear that word today? Take courage. It is I. Don't be afraid. The first thing that Jesus does in the midst of their despair is to remind them that they do not need to be afraid because he is with them. Most of the time, whenever you read about someone in the Bible having an encounter with God, the first thing God says is, don't be afraid. In fact, the phrase is one of the most common in the scriptures, being mentioned about 365 times. You know, that's one for every day of the year. It's good to know, isn't it? Now, as Peter responds in faith and gets out of the boat, he walks on the water to Jesus. As he fixes his eyes on Jesus, faith rises in him and a miracle takes place. But this miracle would not have happened had Peter remained in the boat. It required Peter's active participation. It required a bit of risk-taking. How are you at risk-taking? It's easy to stay in the boat, isn't it? But faith requires participation. It requires a bit of risk. So why does Peter sink? Well, he sinks because he takes his eyes off Jesus and puts them on his surrounding circumstance. His attention was stolen by the wind and the waves. And he understandably freaked out. Let me ask you another question. What is stealing your attention right now? What's stealing your attention right now? What's consuming you right now? And have you told what's consuming you right now about who your Heavenly Father is? As I've said, moving out of COVID, moving forward is not going to be an easy task. I hope it's going to be an exciting one, but it's not necessarily going to be easy. It's going to feel like a squall around us at times. And the danger is to shrink back into in fear and stay in the safety and predictability of the boat, not taking risks, not stepping out in faith. But if you are going to move forward into what God has in store for you, then you are going to have to step out of the boat and get a little wet and take a risk or two. If I didn't do that, I wouldn't be here today. Simple. I wouldn't. There's a lot easier for me to say, no, I'll just stay at Braintree. Won't upset anyone then. And it was hard. It was really hard saying goodbye to Braintree. But these risks that we take, they won't amount to much unless our eyes are fixed on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. Because as Peter learnt, when he allowed the worries and concerns of the surrounding situation to overwhelm him and distract him from Jesus, he began to sink. He began to sink. It's because I wrote he sank here, and then I'm like, began to sink. No, that doesn't sound right. So my encouragement to you is to continue to fix your eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of your faith. And as you do, he promises to provide for you, direct you, and give you strength. Now, I said this passage yesterday, but I want to say it again, because this has been profound for me, not just recently, but for a good many years. Proverbs 3 again, verses 5 to 6, which encourages us to trust in the Lord with all our heart, and lean not on our own understanding. In all our ways submit to him, and he will make our path straight. Now, as I've said, this is one of the verses that the Lord has continued to give me time and time again over the last 5 years, and I want to encourage you to heed its wisdom too. As you trust God, as you set your focus on him, as you love him with all that you are, all that you have, as you take a risk and participate with him, then he promises to make your paths straight. He will bring health to your body and nourishment to your bones, and you will end up doing immeasurably more than you could ever ask or imagine. As we move forward together, let's continue to remain in Jesus' love for us, looking to him for all things. For he tells us, apart from him, we can do nothing. But in him, we can do all things. We can become even more fruitful than we already are. So that's my first encouragement to you all. Seek God first and foremost. Fix your eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of your faith. Seek his kingdom and his righteousness. Love him with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second one is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. These two commandments are inseparable. You can't have one without the other. You just can't. To love God is to love your neighbor. And to love your neighbor is to love God. And who is our neighbor? Everyone. Everyone. Including that person you really find annoying. They're your neighbor. Sorry, but they are. We breathe in God's love. We breathe out God's love. It's very natural and very simple, but this is the gospel. We breathe in God's grace. We give out God's grace. Freely we've received, freely we give. So it goes on. It's very simple. Very hard to do, but very simple. So as we move forward as the family of God, as we recover and rebuild from COVID, let us continue to love one another. For there is no greater gift than love. And we're reminded it is by this love that others will know that we follow Jesus Christ. And hopefully they'll want to join the family of God for themselves. Now, I often said at Braintree that being a family isn't easy. And many of us can testify to that reality. But if we're looking to invite people to join our church family, then they're not going to want to join another dysfunctional one. We need to be a family that continually rests in God's great love for us. And that love is in Christ Jesus. And from the overflow of this relationship, we need to share the love of Christ with those around us in word and deed. With God's helper, the Holy Spirit, let us continue to clothe ourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, patience, generosity. And may we continue to bear with each other and forgive one another. We need to forgive, it says, as the Lord forgave us. We breathe in forgiveness. We breathe out forgiveness. And over all these virtues, Paul says in Colossians 3, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. And as we do this, we not only love God, but we reflect his love to those around us so that they may know God's love for them also. So, as we enter this new and exciting era, let us get the right focus. Let us seek God first and foremost, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, seeking first his kingdom and his righteousness. Let's love God with all our heart, soul, and mind. For this is the first and greatest commandment, and the second is like it. Let's love our neighbor as ourself. And as we do this, as we continue to love God and love each other, we will continue to be the family of God and grow as the family of God into all the wonderful plans and purposes God has for us. And before we pray, I just want to read the covenantal promises we made together yesterday. We are called to be a prophetic people, working for justice, resisting violence, and challenging the abuse of power. We are called to be an inclusive people, pulling down the walls of prejudice and welcoming the stranger. We are called to be a sacrificial people, risking uncertainty, becoming vulnerable, and reflecting the generosity of God. We are called to be a missionary people, demonstrating in word and action the redeeming love of God in this world. We are called to be a worshiping people, seeking and celebrating the God who journeys with us and open to the Spirit in the whole of life. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, as we continue to recover from COVID and look forward to the future, as exciting and uncertain as that may feel, bind us together, Lord. Bind us together in love. Help us to fix our eyes on you alone, to trust you with all our heart, to love you with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. For we know that you are a faithful God. For you have been with us in the past. You are with us now as we gather in the name of Jesus. And by your Spirit, you will be with us in the mystery of the future, building your church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. We give thanks for your great love and faithfulness to us. In Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.